You're listening to a podcast from Grace Church in Salado, Texas. For more information and resources just like this, visit us online at gracesalado.com.
You got three different color blues on your notes.
Dude, I've got lines and blues and...
Wow.
It should be extremely clear.
Hello and welcome to Grace Church Salado Podcast. My name is David Laws and I'm joined by Jason Goings, the pastor of Preaching and Vision here at Grace. If this is your first time listening, we do this podcast each week so that you would come away loving God's Word more, knowing how to apply it to your daily life, how to obey it. And we're looking this week at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And it says, "Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So, Jason, we've had this series of passages that come out of 1 Peter, and I'm excited to dig into this one. It's another one that's just really, really rich. And so maybe just start by giving us your thoughts as you look at this passage.
So in this text, you see some phraseology. This is the CSV version of the text. And I think it's good to just sort of define, break down some of these phrases. And, you know, therefore, when it says, with your mind ready for action, I gotta be honest. I'm not a huge fan of what the CSB did here. I understand why they translated what they did. For example, the NIV says, prepare your minds for action. The ESV says, preparing your minds for action. But check out the New King James Version, which is closer to more of a literal, gird up the loins of your mind. I love that because I know why they translated it the way they did, because we don't have long robes in our culture. But the imagery here is it's taken from the Middle Eastern practice of gathering up the long part or the main part of the garment, tucking it into the belt so that you're prepared to run and your legs are free and to have rapid movement to get, whether it be to fight or to race or to run. And so the idea is get your mind ready to think, like get out the clutter, get everything out of the way and let's go.
Well, and something that I love about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when it's talking about preparing, I'm pretty sure in the Greek that's a participle. So it's a verb that's describing how another verb is happening. So, you know, when it's telling us preparing your mind, set your hope on the grace that's coming. And it's almost like saying that's how you set your mind on that grace, is by preparing yourself for action.
Right, right. Yeah, it's exactly right. And I love, you know, what I do like about this translation, it says, be sober-minded. We understand what being sober is, I think. It really is a free your mind from those things that cloud it, that corrupt it. And that's the idea, is that our minds become free, that we get our mind ready, as you alluded to a while ago, so that we can fully grasp all the hope that Jesus is revealing, the revelation of Jesus. And I think one of the encouraging things or the motivating things here, what we need to understand from this life verse, is there is so much hope available to us, but our minds are locked down. They're foggy, they're trapped. And so we're going back to the loin idea, like we're stumbling over the way we think, the way our egos are. We're missing the deeper revealed truths of Christ. And so I will say sometimes the In Vogue song comes up whenever I think, you know, free your mind, the rest will follow. This is actually free your mind so that you can go hard after thinking on the holiness of God, that your mind can sprint now and go after it. So,
well, and I love that you used that terminology of being clouded, because literally this morning as I was driving to work, we had that really, really intense cloudiness. And I actually took a picture of it when I was at a stoplight because it was so shocking. And, you know, as I'm watching and we're driving over the bridge, all I see is white. And then all of a sudden you see a set of headlights when it's right in front of you. And the reality is that car was there, whether I saw it or not, but there was this distracting, clouding veil that was in front of it. And I think it's that same thing. That hope, it exists. Our reason for hope, that exists. But what happens is there's all of these things that just distract us and hide it from us. They shield us from that reality that there is hopefulness to be grasped to right now.
I love that illustration, David, because It's the fog. It's the mind fog that we allow to be there, cluttering and we're just missing it. Like, it's these amazing holy truths of Christ that are, like you said, that are there, whether we see it or not. They're just right there, but we allow this fog to stay in our brains and keep us from really getting there.
And as we think about those things that cloud us, that distract us from that truth, what are some of those complications, some of those problems that come to your mind when you think about this?
Well, if we look at this text, you know, it talks about sometimes we're fixed on this or on that, and it's really we're conformed to the world. We are allowing the fog of the world to interrupt the revelation of Christ in our life, and so we're conformed to the world. Our minds are not clear, and I think one of the ways that I've applied this, or I strive to implement this verse 13, is actually what we see in verses 14 through 16, which is next.
So as you look at verses 14 to 16, what are some of the things that stand out to you in that part of the passage?
Right. So, you know, ready our mind for action, be sober-minded. And then we have verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as the one who has called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So for me, this is a daily removing of the fog, you know, a daily ready my mind to pursue obeying Christ. The way that looks for me is, even as I get up out of bed, it's like, okay, today I want to obey Christ. And it's a readying our mind by pursuing holiness. Today, Christ has set aside a holy life for me. I'm going to pursue that. And just doing that is already sort of pushing out the cultural fog that's clouding the mind. It's open, it's girding up the loins of my mind in a way to just be ready to sprint for holiness, sprint for obedience. And so I think that's one thing that helps me too.
And I think something as well, like, I love that idea of intentionally having that moment of saying, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to meditate on these things. And I think also that's why it's so beneficial for many people to study God's word early in the morning, is because you're filling your mind with those truths that are naturally going to overflow throughout the day. I mean, it's almost like filling a gas tank. You know, you then have that gas in your reservoir throughout the day. And I think that's another helpful step along those same lines.
Yeah, it's so true. Morning is good, but if you don't do it in the morning, don't get discouraged. You know, you can still push out the fog at 6 p.m. You can still push it out at, you know, in the evening. You know, in verse 15, it talks about, you know, to be, actually, I think it's verse 14, you know, do not be conformed in the desires of your former ignorance. But in verse 15, it says, be holy in all your conduct. And so when we go back to thinking about a sober mind, think about what it takes to become sober for somebody who's never been sober or hasn't been sober in a long time. You can't go from being sort of addicted to too much wine or being an alcoholic to sobriety by switching from bourbon to rum. Like, you can't say, okay, bourbon's the problem, so I'm going to just drink a lot of rum, or I'm going to drink just, you know, light beer or wine or whatever. No, it's, you're still not sober. And so what this is saying is, be sober-minded by pursuing holiness in all your conduct. Now, this is where we get stuck. We think, okay, I'm not doing that anymore, but I'm going to do this. And what we're doing is just trading one set of fogginess for another type of fogginess. And it's not really setting our minds on the hope of Christ. So,
and when you... if someone's trying to think, how do I go about setting my hope in this? I mean, are there any practical steps that you would recommend to someone? This is what that looks like. You know, this week, this is what it looks like to set your hope on the grace of Christ.
Well, practically, it really is what you said. It's getting up in the morning and studying His Word. I can't make myself hope. I have to feed on His truths. That is fuel. It's like I'm stoking the fire. Like his truth is the wood and the embers that creates that burn that fuels me to hope in him. So if I want more hope, go to the source of hope. You know, Lord, give me more fuel. Give me more fuel. Give me more of the truth. It's about meditating and setting our minds on truth versus culture or lies or the world.
And it's interesting you say that, because just yesterday I was sitting on my couch and the thought that struck me as far as something that I could see being a healthy practice, which I think would fit here, is also being conscious of what is it that Satan wants me to believe? Like, what are the things that Satan wants me to believe about myself, about God, and actually taking time to acknowledge those things. Like, I think Satan wants me to live in shame for this, or I think Satan wants me to put my hope in being this kind of person, being successful or getting this role, like whatever that might be for any given person. I think that can even be helpful, of just recognizing where are we prone to drift away from God, and just acknowledge those red flags in our life that, oh, this is something that is not in God's will. This is something that really I think Satan, you know, would be rejoicing more over. And so I think that could be another step for some folks.
Exactly. Yeah. For me, it's the temptation for entertainment. I'm so far too easily pleased. And so, and I think my obstacle, maybe like a lot of people's, that actually keeps the fog there are the electronics in my life. My phone, television, entertainment. I was talking to Sam earlier, and I think one of the most important books I've read in the last 3 or 4 years is the book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You by Tony Ranke. Absolutely amazing. So if you're listening to this and you want to help get the fog out and gird up your mind, what this book does is, with great study, great test, it just makes us aware of one of the opponents of girding up our mind, or the loins of our mind. Like it one of the things that keeps us in the fog.
Well, because it ties back to that idea of distraction, right? I mean, it's just one of the strongest tools that Satan has in his belt is to just distract us. I mean, even if our intentions are in the right place, our motivations are in the right place, if we're distracted, we're usually not in that place where we're glorifying God in the way we would love to be, with that intentionality. And it's just that consistent attack of distraction.
Yeah, I like your word. The distraction is the best word, probably. Instead of using like fog, you're coming up with all these great illustrations and they're all good. But I think distractions is exactly that, the right thing. To prepare a mind is to say, let's get through the distractions. Let's push out the distractions. Let's pursue what is holy and find. And what this passage is saying is, the revelation of Christ and his holiness for you, the distractions are closing in. So get your mind ready to go after it. Go get the holy. It's already been declared for you. It's already been claimed for you. So keep the distractions out. Get your mind ready every day and pursue that holiness in Christ Jesus.
Oh, that was a great way to piece all of that together. Well, thank you for listening to the Grace Salado podcast this week. We hope that this discussion spurred you on in your love for Jesus and your love for people this week. We'll see you next Wednesday for our episode on Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4-5.